Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Movies and a Meal, the podcast where we talk about movies and other things while we eat. Keith here. As always, I'm joined by Ben.
Greetings and salutations.
And Brad.
What's up?
I tried something new. I don't know if we'll last another one, but...
It's very classy. I like it.
No. That was me when we first started it. I was like, I gotta find a thing, and it's like...
Brad had a different catchphrase. Yeah. I think you were just like, yo! I think that was original.
Like, yo, one time I did a, like, ahoy ahoy. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, I gotta find something, so...
Well, just as long as you're excited, whatever you choose is fine.
So...
But getting back to business, we have a trio of movies on the slate this week, starting with this week's big theater offering, Kung Fu Panda 4, followed by two streamers, Spaceman with Adam Sandler, Carey Mulligan and more, and finally, Ricky Stenicki, the new Amazon Prime comedy with Zac Efron and John Cena. So, to start it off, Brad, what is Kung Fu Panda 4 all about?
All right, summary courtesy of IMDb. After Po is tapped to become the spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace, he needs to find and train a new dragon warrior. While a wicked sorceress plans to resummon all the master villains whom Po has vanquished to the spirit realm.
I've always been a Kung Fu Panda fan, but when I started thinking about this one, you know, for the review, my mind flowed to the career of Jack Black, and it's pretty remarkable. I had to look up when exactly he became such a hero to kids, and it really probably started in about 20 years ago when he was in Ice Age and School of Rock. And I can tell you, kids love School of Rock, along with me. And if you go watch Kung Fu Panda 4, and if you're a fan of the series, I think you certainly should, you know what I mean about him being a hero to the young set. They truly went bananas at my screening for every kick and fart and everything else in this latest installment in the popular franchise, and I had a pretty good time with it too. So where's our hero Po as we dive into Kung Fu Panda 4? At a crossroads, but don't worry, this won't get terribly deep, of course, instead, as usual, being all about the fun. As we meet Po, he's in consultation with Master Shifu, the returning Dustin Hoffman, about a big transition in his life to go from being the dragon warrior to the spiritual leader of the Valley of Peace. This, of course, sets up all kinds of great jokes, especially when Po tries to meditate, with, of course, disastrous results. Jack Black is as game as ever to play Po through all his shenanigans, and, of course, lots of kung fu action. But what really breathes new life into this franchise, that I have to assume will keep going and going, is Po's new sidekick here, the crafty fox thief Zen, voiced by Awkwafina. On paper, they seem like the perfect pair, and they really are, riffing their way through this breezy 90-minute movie with glee. You can perhaps guess by the name of her character how this will all end up, but it's still a fun ride getting there. Helped also by, yes, really, a seriously slumming Viola Davis here as the big bad, the chameleon. Her villain's motivation doesn't make much sense, but it really doesn't matter, because Davis is so much fun here as she pretty much hisses out every word. Kung Fu Panda isn't perfect, of course. Though it's plenty funny throughout, the truly flimsy story here is constantly covered up with the frenetic fight scenes, which never let up. A little break now and then would have been great, but of course, this isn't that kind of movie. All that matters, though, is that Jack Black and the crew are still having fun with this franchise, and I mostly did too. So I will give this 3 stars.
So Rotten Tomatoes, Keith, critics and audience, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to go pretty high. I'll go 75 on the critics, and, I mean, you know, people love Jack Black, or you're not going to go, so I'll go 85.
All right, critics 69%, 95 reviews. Audience 86%, 250 plus reviews. And critics consensus, courtesy of Rotten Tomatoes, Kung Fu Panda 4 offers enough eye-catching entertainment to sustain the franchise's young fans, although it's starting to feel like this series is running out of steam.
It might. It does a little bit, but adding Awkwafina, but also Kiki Kwan and Viola Davis, she was the one time because she was the villain who was vanquished. But there's enough going there. I think it'll go for a long time. All right, well then, next up, I believe, is Spaceman. So, Brad, tell us what that's all about.
All right, summary as always, courtesy of IMDb. Half a year into a solo mission on the edge of the solar system, an astronaut concerned with the state of his life back on Earth is helped by an ancient creature he discovers in the bowels of his ship.
I picked this one, I know you were a little more wary, so why don't you give us your first impression?
It was okay. The movie, which I guess was supposed to be sort of intentionally, especially in the beginning of it, it was definitely slow, and to an extent, pretty boring, too.
I can buy that.
Once they introduce the ancient creature, as it's said in there, Hanush is the name. I won't tell you the creature. That would be something we can say for spoilers or for if you want to watch this. Keith and I's opinion may differ on that. It picked up after they introduced the character, and the ending was kind of left open-ended to an extent. And
sort of. We'll talk about it after spoilers.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I was hard to make.
The ending was a little hokey.
And like Sandler's character arc was a little. I don't know if rushed is the right word, but...
I don't know about that. It was a pretty slow-moving movie.
Yeah, well, it was slow-moving, but I think, unfortunately, they had to rush some parts for it. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Adam Sandler, I mean, he was okay as Jakub Prochazka. Mm-hmm. I'm probably butchering that, but...
good enough.
He did an okay job as, like, a sheltered man who tries to keep his insecurities hidden. But, and I think I told Ben this, well, earlier, it's like... I've never seen Sandler stay so stone-faced throughout a movie.
This was very serious.
And at times he came off more like even apathetic instead of sheltered.
That's kind of the way his character is, though.
Yeah, I know. It's just... And I mean, he played like a sleep-deprived man. He did that well.
He did, yeah.
I'll give him that on that one. But... I mean, we can get into the characters later. Ben, or Keith, what's your thought?
Like I said, I was more excited about this one. I'm glad you watched it also. But, you know, I really like what Adam Sandler shows his acting chops, which he does, along with his goofy movies that make more money. You know, Uncut Gems is probably the best. But if you want another Netflix movie starring Sandler, it's a lot of fun. Hustle, with a lot of NBA players, is fantastic. But then there's this one. This one's on Netflix also. And, you know... Netflix puts its movies out for 1 week or so, their marquee movies, at the Paris Theater in New York, and I was there 1 week early, so I didn't get to see it on the big screen. That would have helped, because the ending, they're going to some distant, like star cluster next to Jupiter or something, which some fictional thing which doesn't exist, of course. But even on TV, it's a lot of fun. You know, this really is kind of an acting showcase. I thought that Carey Mulligan's part was a little underwritten, but that's by design, because Jakub clearly ignores her while he goes to space all this time. But she still made the most of it. She's always great. And she's very good in this. And he is too. And Paul Dano, like I said, you don't tell him what kind of creature it is. But once Hanush enters the screen, you know, he brings the comic relief. And that's what was sorely needed. He's kind of like... And I also appreciated also Kumail Nayar as Peter, kind of the astronaut whisperer. There were really only four players in this entire movie. There were some flashbacks to his dad, but those were kind of poorly done. But I like, you know, man stuck in space kind of movies, and this one was right up my alley.
Just going off what you're saying, Kumail Nayar, is that right?
Kumail Nayar, I believe.
Yeah, he's my underrated MVP, because like I said, it's a small cast, so I mean, he's good as Peter. I mean, it's like, honestly, besides maybe the human actors of this, I think he shows the most emotion of the three other main human ones in this. And I mean, he holds his own when he's on the screen with Sandler, well, talking to Sandler and on the screen with Mulligan.
And with Carey Mulligan, too. Yeah,
yeah, so, and Carey Mulligan's good in this, but like you said, it's underwritten, and it almost feels like maybe not shoehorned, but it just...
I wouldn't go that far.
I wish they gave her a little more and maybe a little less on the spaceship. I think
you might be right there.
I think I might have given a little more attachment to her character and the plight they were going through. But Paul Dano is definitely the MVP of this. I mean...
So he's the MVP. The other guy is the secret MVP.
Secret underrated MVP. Yeah, he's... As Anoush, I mean, at least his character, we'll say, shows emotion and wonderment.
Well,
he's an
empathy character.
Yes, and I mean, it's just like every new thing he learns, he's like, oh, this is, it's...
Well, my favorite thing is the jar of Nutella. That was so funny.
Yeah. And I mean, just seeing his need to understand the human race, I think, was interesting in itself. And I think it almost felt like he was doing Jakub a favor, trying to, like, just help him... through the thing.
That's why he's there.
Yeah.
And I think we should take the spoilers off pretty soon, because we should talk about Janusz, and we should talk about the ending.
Yeah.
So I think you should go ahead and give the warning.
All right. It's spoiler. Well,
should you give your review first?
Oh, yeah. You go ahead and give your review. Do you want to say something else before we go?
I'll go ahead and give it now. It's, I'm probably going to be the low end of the two. I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5.
That's not that low.
Yeah. I like it. It's just... I don't know. There's just something that it's just the first half was slow and a little boring. And I mean, it picks up on the second half, but it's supposed to be a slow moving movie. And I think to its detriment, it kind of hurt the movie a little bit that way. But yeah, I gave it 2.5 out of 5.
All right. Well, no surprise. I knew I liked it more than you. I will go 3.5. You know, Sandler was great. All the acting was great. You know, I like the story. And as soon as we take spoiler alert off, well, we can talk about the ending, which was completely hokey, but I even bought that. I liked it all around.
Well, you guys want to guess Rotten Tomatoes real quick?
You can go first, since you never get to guess.
Well, the reviews I saw were not kind.
Did you look at the Rotten Tomatoes?
I did not look at the Rotten Tomatoes. That's good. I looked at a couple reviews.
Since you rarely get to play.
IGN being one.
What did they give it?
They gave it a 5 out of 10.
Ooh,
so,
that's harsh.
Also, our the other movie coming up, Ricky Stenicki.
Hey, Brad, don't.
No. Don't spoil that.
Okay. But yeah, they gave it a 5 out of 10. I read another review that was not too kind to it. So I'm going to say 52% for the critics. Audience, unfortunately, I'll give a little higher, but I don't think they're going to like it as much either because of the slowness of it. I'm going to go 64%.
I think you're all wet about the critics, Brad. This is a... People love serious Adam Sandler. I will go 75 for the critics and a little lower, 70 for the fans.
All right.
Brad, are you sure you didn't look at the numbers?
No.
Critics, 53%.
Wow.
Audience, 65%.
No, I didn't look.
Brad's just such an expert on Rotten Tomatoes.
And if you guys bear with me one second, I will bring up the critics' consensus. Critics' consensus... Spaceman's poignant themes are partly brought to life by sensitive performances by a talented cast, but it fails to consistently engage with its most interesting ideas. And the audience says, Spaceman definitely isn't for everybody, but it does a decent job of adapting a slow, cerebral story that's easy to engage with, that's easier to engage with in print.
Well, they all have the concern that Brad did. It is a slow movie.
Yeah.
But if... I will go first, if you don't mind. I really loved the ending when Jakub goes out in space and with Janusz, he finally gets Janusz to come with him, and he kind of comes to the realization that he has ignored his wife and his life all this time by going out in space for so long, and I really like that theme. I like the way it played out. I like how Janusz kind of disappears or falls to pieces. And I like that it's left open. What's left open is whether or not he made up Janusz, and I think he did.
Yeah, that's the big thing, and it probably is clue. It probably is, I'm leaning towards the agreeing to what you said, that I think Janusz's character is probably made up. The story's interesting. It's an interesting story. In fact, if the character was not made up, I would think that maybe they would even go in a little more further into the backstory of the character.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ending is okay for me. I mean, it's fine. It's just, it seems like that Jakub comes like full circle.
A little quickly?
A little quick for my taste.
He didn't really come full circle, though. He just realized he's a jerk. He still has some work to do.
Yeah, you know?
She didn't forgive him. She's ready to forgive him, but, not yet.
And I love the impassioned speech he gives her.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was probably Sandler's best moment, in my opinion, in this movie. And the ending where, I don't think it's the last scene, but it's like the next to the last scene when he's floating there, and then you go to him in the spacesuit and Lenka and the water nymph, and it goes back to the story where if you kiss the water nymph, you're gonna die. And they bring up she basically says, are you gonna kiss me or whatever, and Adam Sandler's character goes to do it, and then it kind of breaks off from that. So
I like those flashbacks with the two of them. They're sweet.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. And I mean,
the flashbacks with his dad didn't do as much for me. Those were poorly done.
I mean, it basically was like explaining his whole life. So,
which was a big ask.
yeah, it was. And I think the CGI and the special effects were great. I really got to do that.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen it on the big screen. The ending, once you see the whatever it's called, that where he was going, is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, so...
And when Janusz goes to pieces, that was cool, too.
Yeah, so I think that was pretty good. Everything else was... It's not a bad movie, it's just... It's one of those where you have to get... Well, in my opinion, you got to get through, like, the first 30 minutes of it to get into the heart of it, so...
Agreed. All right, well, our final movie... And this was, I will say, I had not heard of this movie till Ben brought it up, but it is a comedy from Peter Farrelly only called Ricky Stenicki. So, Brad, tell us what this is all about.
All right, summary is courtesy of IMDb. When three childhood best friends pull a prank that goes wrong, they invent the imaginary Ricky Stenicki to get them out of trouble. 20 years later, they still use the non-existent Ricky as a handy alibi for their immature behavior.
Well, you can start us off, Ben. What do you think?
Maybe it was because we were coming off the Iron Claw high with Zac Efron. But, I saw the trailer for this. Maybe we're just destined to see movies where only half a brother duo...
Yeah, they're falling apart.
between this and Driveway Dolls. Mm-hmm. We have Bobby Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers. And I looked in the filmography, too. I guess him and Zac Efron are maybe forming a partnership because they were in that Greatest Beer Run Ever movie 2 years ago, which people seem to like. This is a little bit more of Zac Efron's wheelhouse of a comedian, and This movie, it felt like a Farrelly Brothers movie, and also felt like a throwback to movies that they just don't put in theaters anymore. You know, you mentioned it was on streaming on Amazon Prime, and, you know, it's a little bawdy, it's, you know, kind of funny, I guess, maybe not as much as you would expect from a Farrelly Brothers movie, but, you know, Zac Efron and Jermaine Fowler, Andrew Santino, they're the three friends, you know, and they've been using Ricky Stenicki as, like Brad said, an alibi, and then they're forced to kind of reckon with that with their family, and that's where John Cena's character comes in. And we've talked about this a couple times recently. The current trio of wrestlers that seems to be dominating the box office between him, Dave Bautista, and The Rock. And John Cena definitely has the comedy on lock.
He does.
Even his, like, Peacemaker role.
Yes.
Have you watched Peacemaker?
I've said from what I've heard. I've not seen Peacemaker. But
we're going to let that go, Brad.
But even his Suicide Squad. The Suicide Squad.
I think what's great about Cena is that he's a big guy, he's athletic, and you would think, okay, he's always going to play the dolt or the hard guy or the tough guy, and he's not afraid to make fun of himself or just be dumb and be in silly situations, and that's good. But overall, the movie, it just felt much like Driveway Dolls, we were talking about. It felt like it was missing the element of maybe two brothers, and like this one, the pacing was weird. I remember watching it, and it was like, oh, we're almost halfway done this movie, and then this big revelation comes in. There are some good points. I think if this was 2009, this would have been released in the summertime, and it probably would have made a lot of money.
It's good August comedy.
But now it's being released in March. Mm-hmm. It's a streamer. It's a number one streaming thing on Amazon Prime.
They say.
Yeah. you know, William H. Macy is solid in this and a nice comedic role for him, but, you know, it's overall, it was an okay movie.
I pretty much agree with you. You know, I had never heard of this until you mentioned it. When I saw it was Cena and Zac Efron, I'm in. But, you know, one Farrelly or two, this feels like a Farrelly Brothers movie, but minus almost all the comedy. It was just, I wanted to laugh, it just made me cringe.
You know.
None of that made me laugh.
The Farrelly Brothers movies are known for the gross-out stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about Something About Mary.
But that was funny.
They were even matured, and like these same kind of like crude sexual innuendo jokes, they just don't hit like they did in 1998
when
Something About Mary came out.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things have aged from the 90s, but, you know, music was great, but these movies have not aged well. You know, you're right, though. William H. Macy is great. And even better, you know, to do Brad's secret MVP, I love Apple Farrelly. She is Peter Farrelly's daughter, and she only stars in his movies. And here she played Carly, and she was really the only real soul in this movie. I really liked that character. But I also liked, you know, the women actually get surprisingly, some of them get a lot to do. Les Scott Davis as Dean's wife. She had a key part in the movie.
That's Zac Efron's character.
It was kind of a good commentary on the state of TV news. But I really liked Carly. Apple Farrelly. It was just sweet, and I liked that part of it. But overall, there was just not enough funny, and it was just a really tired movie.
I mean, it's, you know, as a streamer, it's fine. There's definitely funnier with the Farrelly Brothers. For sure. I looked at their biography. It doesn't seem like the two of them are teaming up anytime soon. It seems like they're alternating a little bit about movies.
From what I've read, Peter Farrelly is kind of the sweetheart of the two, like has a softer side. And you can see that in this movie a little bit. But he also made Green Book, which I won't see. So he has a little, he tries to be more serious of the two. But I crave, it's like, you know, Adam McKay needs to be with Will Ferrell. I need to be together because they need all the funny.
Yeah.
You know? And then half the funny is clearly missing in this.
I guess before we go into the reviews, you know, this movie has been in development in some form or fashion since 2010. And before John Cena was attached. And I was thinking about this too. I was pleasantly surprised when I read it was consideration. Like, you know, they considered a bunch of different actors. When I was watching, I was like, oh, you know, I wonder, this kind of feels like a Jim Carrey part, like something that John Cena. And Jim Carrey was under consideration.
They would have been good.
Franco. Also Nicolas Cage, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Not Franco, though.
Yeah. But Jim Carrey, and, you know, Jim, they have a working relationship from Me, Myself, and Irene, so.
And Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, yeah. So check it out. I mean, it's March. You can do worse. Your mileage on the comedy will vary. But I'm going to do my review.
Go for it.
I'm just going to give it a 2.5. It's fine. I didn't hate the movie. I thought we missed out on some of the potential, but I didn't regret seeing it. So 2.5.
I didn't either, but I'll only go 2 stars. It just didn't have enough funny. And especially when you compare it to last year. Last year was the gold standard of raunchy movies, most of them made by women and about women. All of them were so much funnier than this, so I was just disappointed at how little funny there was.
Brad, I guess it's Rotten Tomatoes time.
All right. So, critics and audience, Ben?
I'm going to take a thing out of Brad's playbook. I'm going to run Brad's numbers back. I'm going to go 53% for the audience, and I'll go 64%. No, I'm sorry. 53% for the critics and 64% for the audience.
Okay. Keith?
I'm going to lowball it. I can't imagine critics like this very much. I'll go 35%.
I don't know if it's that bad. That's like, no, Madame Web is like 13%.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And, but people love Sena and Zac Efron, so I'll go 75%.
Well, Keith, you're close on the audience. 72%, 100 plus reviews for the audience.
Good.
48% for the critics, 56 reviews. So okay. You're in the middle, both of you.
Yeah.
Ben's closer, but he also went over. So Price is Right.
So Price is Right, I win.
Yeah, no. Price is Right. Style, so. Right. So critics consensus, courtesy of Rotten Tomatoes. Ricky Sinicki gets some big laughs thanks to John Cena up for anything's performance.
Yeah.
But they aren't enough to support the movie's thin plot and excessive runtime.
I agree. It's exactly. It's also way too long. It's like an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
This is a 90-minute movie.
No, actually, you're wrong. It's an hour 53. So
yeah,
it's longer,
you're right.
But yeah, right. Yeah, comedy should be around 90
minutes.
And
the joke ran out after an hour.
That's why I thought the pacing was just a little uneven and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, we're going to maybe we'll wrap this up. Do you have any box office?
I do not. So this is going to be an estimate coming from numbers from Saturday.
Okay.
So because... could not find anything updated as of like 12:30. So, but Kung Fu Panda was number one in the box office with an estimated $55 million.
And that's only through Saturday, or does that include the estimate for Sunday?
That's included the estimate.
That's still
for
pretty
Sunday.
Good. I was thinking about 60. So,
So
where was Dune?
Dune 2 is the only movie I saw finished in second. With $44 million
this
week.
That's a good week two total. That's
which
good.
Would have been, if I can look at old numbers real quick here for a second, if I can find
that's
it.
That's almost a 50% drop off, but it's still
yeah,
very good.
But that's, I think that's the standard, though.
Yeah.
40 or 50%.
44
is
strong.
Is the industry standard.
It would put it at about like 122.5 or 125.5 million dollars.
Not bad.
So for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I don't think Dune 2 will be a $1 billion movie, but it'll come close worldwide. Yeah.
I think that's it then. Why don't you do the plugs then, Keith?
All right. You can reach us at moviesandameal.og@gmail.com, moviesandameal on Twitter, and give us a listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Okay, so for this episode of Movies and a Meal, I'm Ben.
And Keith.
Spread, peace.